Hello to all my chaverim and Yeshiva Torah's motion around the world. Continuing on our Shia in Mishnayos, we're doing Maseches Ma'akatan, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, which in the Gemara is on Daf Yed Aleph Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah begins, Misha Hafach HaZesav, someone who turned over his olives. Rashi says he was preparing them to put them on the press to take out the olive oil. And the Rav says the normal way people did was they would turn around the, like stir up the olives in the ma'atan, as we'll see, that is the kli that would hold these olives, and they would be piled up there, and he wants to get them to the press, but if he wants to get it to work, he has to stir it up, but if he doesn't, if he just leaves it there and doesn't bring it to the press for the grinding after he stirred it up, then they would start getting ruined. So he turned over the olives, then the Tiferes Relic says it's normally placed in a kli called the matan until they start to flow out, so the oil starts flowing from themselves, and they get soft, and then they bring it to the press. And what happened? Iro Evel, he became an oval. Rashi says, we're not talking here about Chol Hamoed. Rashi's learning our Mishnah here, that there's two cases in the Mishnah. One case, if something stopped him anytime during the year from doing what he wanted to do because he became an Ovel, or secondly, he had some kind of anus when it was Chol Hamoed time, or right before Yantif. And we'll see that the first Yisrael and the others learn, no, it's talking about, and the Rav also, it's talking about that he became an Ovel before Yantif, so he didn't get a chance to do anything with his olives before Yantif, and then Yantif came, and now it's Chol Hamoed. So are they two separate cases or one case? So the first case, the first words in the Mishnah here, V'iro Evel, Rashi says, we're talking about any time in the year, not close to the regel, and he can't put them on the press because an Evel is awesome and sees Malacha. But the Tiferes Yisrael says, no, the person who turned over his olives, he became an Ovel, and he can't get them pressed before Yantif, since he's an Aval who's Asim Alacha, and then all of a sudden Chol Hamoed comes. So what does he do now, Chol Hamoed? The mission continues, O Onis. So he was an Aval, either Rashi says any time of the year, or at first Israel, and we'll see the Rav say it means right before Yantav, or Onis happened, as Rashi goes back to his way he learned. He says, this is a separate case. This is a separate case, talking about someone who turned over his olives before the regal, and now he had an inus, and he couldn't put them on the press, and now the regal came, and now it's Chol Hamoed. So the way Rashi learns, the Mishnah never tells you what to do about the evil. And then it goes into Chol Hamoed with the onus, and tells it's going to be telling you what to do on Chol Hamoed with your onus, but it never did tell you anything you could do with the evil. But the way the Rav and the Tiferes Yisrael learned, no, both cases, he became an Ovel, or some onus happened before Yantif, which prevented him, and now he, from doing what he needed to do, and now he has a Chol Hamoed. So, the Tiferes Yisrael says, onus, that he became an onus for some other way. It wasn't a velus. He had some other onus happen to him, and he couldn't get them pressed before Yantif. He says, even if he forgot, or he figured, nothing would go wrong if I just leave it there until after the regal, but then he realizes he's in big trouble because it's starting to go bad. Oh shit, oh polem. Or he had workers, Rashi says, he had hired workers to take the olives from the ma'atan, the place where it was stored, and bring it to the press, the Beis Chabad, before the regal, and they never showed up. So now he's stuck. He has them, and they're about to go bad, and now it's Chol Hamoed time. The Tiferes Yisrael says, and the Chol Hamoed came. Rashi didn't explicitly say that, but that's obviously the case here, that he hired people to do the work before Yantif, and now Chol Hamoed is coming, because they didn't show up. Riffa says, if there were other workers around that he could hire, that would be a special case. It would be extenuating circumstances if he'd have to pay them extra money to hire them, and that wouldn't be something we'd force them to do. So what does he do in this case? He's stuck. Either it's an evil case or some other, and going to Rosh any time of the year, or it was right before Yantav had problems, and now he is in Chol Moed. So the Mishnah says, Toin Kar Rishona, he presses that down with the first beam. Rashi in the Rav says he presses on the olives, a beam of the olive press, once. And he has it pressed down so that some will flow out of the olives and it won't get ruined. But he shouldn't do it a second time because it doesn't get ruined after you've done it once. The Rav adds, and here we see the things that are mut on the moed are also for an Avel to do by himself while he's an Avel, because it says, Iro Avel. Mishnah said, an Avel, he became an Avel, and because of the Avel, he was stuck up until the Moed, and he couldn't do anything. So then he puts the first beam on in Chol HaMoed. But if it's a normal case of Avel, it would be usher to do this by himself, even the first beam. Other people could do it for him. And then what does he do? Umenicha achra moed. He leaves that first beam on after the moed, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi explains that he leaves them on the olives. He doesn't press it anymore until after the Chol HaMoed. Tesiyantiv has a little problem with the way the Rav explained the Mishnah. He says, the Rav said, from here we see the things that were mutter on the moed is also for an able to do by hand during his avelis. Why? Because it says, v'iro avel, which means it started talking about an avel and it didn't explain what to do by an avel. It didn't explain whether you can put the beam on or not, the first beam. But then it went into talking about the moed, explaining what to do in Chol HaMoed, that if an onus happened before the moed, he can put the first beam. And that's a kind of a quote from the Gemara. But the Taisa Rabbi Akiva Eger says that the Taisa Yantif, explaining the Rav, is trying to compare, to fit the Rav in with the Lashon in the Gemara that says, Pasach be'evel v'siyim be'moed. It started talking about Evel and then continued talking about the Chol HaMoed, which sounds like that the Raya, since it didn't explain the words of the Evel, just mentioned Evel and didn't tell you anything about it. And therefore, the way the Taisa Yantav learns from the Rav, it must mean that since it just mentioned Evel, didn't tell you what to do, you can't do anything. But he, Rabbi Akiva Eger, says, I don't understand. According to the Rav said himself, he said he became an Evel, which was because the Evel stopped him to do the work until the Moed. So he is saying that the Mishnah is talking about a combination of Evel and Moed, not the two separate cases. So, therefore, explaining the way the Gemara is talking about Pasuk be'evel v'siyim b'moed means like this. The fact that we didn't explain the dinim of the evel because the Mishnah's not even talking about what to do if you're an avel. Okay, we're not doing that in our Masechta. We're talking about Chol HaMoed. But what it say he became an avel means not because of the dinim of the avel, but the fact that became an Avel, now he is mutter to do it on Chol HaMoed. And that was pshat in the Rav, that the Rav was explaining. He didn't mention Avel. Didn't explain Avel. But he does explain Chol HaMoed because we're not talking about Avel. We're just talking about Chol HaMoed. Then someone who is an Avel would then be mutter on Chol HaMoed. So we see that the Avel himself couldn't do it when he was an Avel. Because otherwise, it wouldn't be an onus, and it would answer, if he could have done it when he was an Avel, why is he waiting till the Chol HaMoed to do it? It should be us on the Chol HaMoed. Okay, the Tiferes Yisrael says that after you place the beam on the olives, it's not going to get ruined anymore, but even if he was an Avel, even in the days when he was an Avel, even that would be usher to place the beam on at once, because only other people are allowed to do work to help you for something that could go wrong and be a Dover HaAvid. So that is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. You just put the beam on once and you leave it. Rabbi Yossi Omer Zolef, as Rashi and Rav explain, you pour the olives onto the into the press. And anytime we use that word zolef, it means pouring. And Rashi Rif says you squeeze. It means you squeeze out the olives. You squeeze out the oil, the olive oil from the olive. Pishrus Nice, the Rambam says you can. It means zolef. You sweep it out from the pit. You complete the work that you needed to do. Vigomer is the next word in the Mishnah. Is Rav says that gomer means you finish the squeezing. According to Rabbi Yossi, you can do completely finish the work, complete the squeezing, and you have it locked up in the press. And the Rashi says you complete. You do the completion of this of the. Of the squeezing, Tiferes Yisrael says, you do it like your normal way would be to finish the squeezing. And the Mishnah says, v'gaf kedarko, and then you seal it up the normal way. Rav says, you seal up the barrels. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Tiferes Yisrael brings from Taisus that you need to cover them, the olives. You can't just leave it lying there because they're shratzim. You want to protect them from the shratzim, from the insects. And you really don't need to have them sealed in a barrel. It would be enough to do, put a small covering over them. And maybe, since it's if it's new, it would get ruined that way. Maybe that's why you need to have a barrel. The Darkei Moshe in Siman Tav Kuf Lamed Zayin on the base, Aleph says that Rabbi Yossi, the difference in what the Machlokas is between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, that's what he comes to explain. Rabbi Yossi holds that if you once got this Rishus to start doing the work, you can finish it completely. And Rabbi David Landesman explains that Rabbi Yossi says they never told you you can't squeeze olives on Chol HaMoed. And therefore you don't need any kind of shinoi. Just like they tell you you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, you don't have to do a shinoi. So here they never asked you for squeezing the olives. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that normally a pressing, squeezing is also a Chol HaMoed. And over here they give you heter, it's only because something might go ruined, and they only remind you to do the minimal you have to do to protect you from the loss, or do it with a shinoi, and that's why here, just do the first pressing, and no more. Continuing on, now we're up to Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, the Gemara is on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. It says, we're going to have a similar machlokas in Mishnah Beis as we had in the first one. Here we're talking about wine, not oil, olive oil. We're talking about wine you had in your bar, and Rashi says this bar, this pit, was in front of the press, and it's a place where the wine flows from the press. That's called the bar, and the Rav says it's dug out underneath the press, and it is lined with lime in order to get the wine to fall in there and accept it into that area. And what happened? Iro Avel Onis Oshadu Apolim. Similar like we had in the previous Mishnah, he became an Avel, or an Onis happened, or he had these workers that stiffed him, didn't come to do the work they were supposed to. Zolef Vigomer. So Rabbi Yossi is, he was the second sheet in the first Mishnah. Here he's the first in the second Mishnah. And he says you just pour it and finish. Rashi says you fill it up into your barrels, and then you can seal the barrel with a tight seal. Right? And the Rush warns us you can only do these jobs on Chol HaMoed if there was an Ones or the Polim messed him up. But if he planned to do this ahead of time on Chol HaMoed, it would be us to do it, even if there would be a Hefsid Merubah if he didn't. So this is Divrei Rabbi Yossi, and Taisus Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Divrei Masa Divrei Yossi says, as I kind of alluded to, when we're dealing with Shemen, with oil, they mentioned Rabbi Yehuda first. And since they started talking about Rabbi Yossi, which was the second one in the first Mishnah, then they continued with Rabbi Yossi, making him the first in the second Mishnah. So Rabbi Yossi, it would be Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, and then Rabbi Yehuda. And here is Rabbi Yehuda, his argument. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Osoli Mudin Bishvul Shlo Yachmas. You do something to make sure that they won't turn sour, the wine. Rashi says you can't start sealing the normal way your barrels. But what do? You cover the wine up with some boards. That's the lamudim, so it won't start turning sour. Because if you don't cover it, it will turn into vinegar. The Rav says these are wooden boards. You cover them so it won't get turn sour. But don't take it out of the bar. Don't take the wine out of the bar. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi as well. The Miki Yosef and the Meiri says, you cover it so it won't, you cover the gas. You cover not just the wine in the pit underneath, you cover the whole press. And the wine is underneath, and that'll protect it, and it won't become sour. This is Yantif brings in the Gemara. So why do we need both Mishnah? Yes, we had the Mishnah before about the olive oil. Now we have the Mishnah about the wine. And he says, Tzriach, we need both. Because if we just had the first case, the Rabbi Yossi would say, because it's very expensive and you might lose a lot of money, your olive oil. But wine, it is not such a big loss. Maybe he'll be murdered by Yehuda, not to do the work on Chol HaMoed. And if we just mention the second case about the wine, maybe the Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay to do it. But maybe you shouldn't do it. But maybe in the first case, where it is expensive, maybe you might just Rabbi Yehuda, you should do it. So we need both cases to explain the machlokas in both. Continuing on, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel, which in the Gemara is on Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis. Machnas Adam Peros Vimnei Aganavim. A person allowed to bring his Peros into his house if he's afraid that it will be stolen. Tevoreh Yisrael says, if he can, he should do it quietly, privately, when people don't see him doing this kind of a work. Taisus Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, Tevoreh Maskel Machnas, says that there's a Taisus HaRav that says there is some kind of malacha by bringing in, gathering up these peiros, but he doesn't himself know what malacha we're talking about. The Rosh Hash here, and the Torah Evan and Chagig and Afyuches Mat Aleph, explains the malacha is ma'amer, and that's what they're afraid he's going to be doing. Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Hayin, Simon Tavkuf, Lamaches, Sif Beis, says you can bring in your peiros because of the crooks, the thieves, if it's not in a place where it can be protected, and you should do it quietly, privately, like bringing it in at nighttime. The Mishnah Berurah of Katan Yud Aleph says, here too, and any other case with this Dover HaAvod, you can't plan ahead to do this, to wait until Chol HaMoed to do this work. Even if it's just a minimal tercha, it shouldn't be planned to do this on Chol HaMoed. Dirshu, Os number 7, says, he has an interesting scenario here. He says, what if you're an employee of a firm, of a company, and they give you a certain amount of vacation days a year, and you decide you would like to take your vacation in the summertime. But you know, if you do that, you're not going to have any vacation time in Chol HaMoed. You'll have to work Chol HaMoed. So is that considered like you're planning on working Chol HaMoed because you're taking your vacation in the summer? So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in Sefer HaZikaron Mevakshei Torah Chol HaMoed Amudim Tafsam Chedek Gimel says that if he has a reason to really want to have his vacation in the summer, like he wants to go to the mountains, similar things to that, then he's allowed to do it. And it's not called that he is mechavim malach lamoed, that he's planning specifically to work on lamoed. But if he doesn't have any specific reason why the summer is better for him, he should try to take his vacation on lamoed. And it's still is also a midas chasidus. There's a mila to take his vacation dafka on lamoed, even if he has a reason that he might want to take better in the summer. And it's also brought in the name of Yaakov Kamenetsky in Sirchon Shlema, Perek Tes, Halora, Ha'ara 63, that says there that the whole Isser of Mechav Malach Lamoid is when you're going to be doing the Malacha. You're putting aside work that needs to be done, and you're specifically doing it on Chol HaMoed. But not here because you want to take your vacation in the summertime. Okay, that's and that will cause you to work on Chol HaMoed. That's not considered Chol Malach LaMoed. Look into the Dirshu, he goes into it a little deeper. Mishnah continues, V'shol l'peshtano min ha-mishra, you're allowed to take your pishtan out of the place where it's been soaking, Rashi says, Mala, pull it up. And the Rav says, anytime you pull something out of the water, it's called Shola. Mishnah Berurah, Siman Tavkuf, Laman Ches, Sifkat Ches says, you bring it up when the time is finished for it to be soaking, because otherwise it's going to start ruining this flax. And the Mishnah says, Bishvil Shlo Toved, you're pulling it up because you don't want it to get ruined. Tiferes Yisrael says, the normal way is to put the stalks of flax into the soaking area so they'll get soft, and afterwards you dry them off in an oven, and then you comb them, and if you leave it in the soaking more than necessary, it starts getting ruined. Miri says it would get ruined. When it says Tovad, it means if you don't take out the Pishtun and it's sitting there, and then someone might come and steal it. Okay, the Mishnah says, Bavad, you can do this. You can pull out your Pishtun. Bavad, Shalecham, Lamoid. Don't specifically push off your work to do on Chol Moed. Rashi says, if he has time the rest of the year and he leaves it for the Moed, that's a no-no. The Rifav says, it's usher to put it, your Pishtun, into this soaking pit before Chol Hamoed, if you know he's not going to have enough time to pull it up before Chol Hamoed, because that would be considered Mechav Malach to Lamoed. V'kulam, the Mishnah says, V'kulam, in Kivn Malach to Lamoed Yovedu, if all these cases, if you specifically plan to do it on Chol Hamoed, it has to be lost. And what does that mean? Rashi says, you can't have any hanah from it. And Rav says, Bezdin will make him lose his money, it'll put that item into Hefker. The Rivka and the Rivka Yaisa say, this is if he was Mechavin B'mezid, but if he forgot or he was lazy, they're not going to make a fine, they're not going to counsel him. The Dirshu Simon Tavkuf Lamates Os 11 says, as far as what is this Knas, are they only going to give him a fine for the extra profit he would make from this work on the Chol Hamoed, or do they fine him also for the main item itself that he did the malacha with? So the Rav Shlomo Zalman, Arbach, and Shmiras Shabbos Kol Chatzos Perek Samach Vav, Haor Kuf Nun, and Rabbi Yashiv and Sefer Zechariah and Mevakshei Torah Chol Hamoed Amud Tav Ayin Aleph say that the kenas is only on the prophet and not on the main part itself. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach said from the poskim, it doesn't sound that way. That's the end of our shiur today. Any questions, comments, complaints, you can reach me at sheldon_rothman@yahoo.com or call me at 052-244-9331. Have a good day.